When we pray, we say to God, I am willing to let you change my heart. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Tuesday. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe God cares for you? I know God's ways are mysterious. I know that God is infinitely patient with all the evil in the world and bringing about the final victory. I know all that stuff, but God does care for you. If God would forget you for a millisecond, you'd go out of existence. Your existence is held in being by the will of God. Okay? And the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will not sustain you. You may not know what the future holds, but you should now know who holds the future. God has the whole world in His hand. You know, on Tuesdays this year, I talk about prayer. Let me talk a little bit generically about it, and then I want to share with you today's prayer. Okay? Prayer is, at its heart, the communication that is the fabric of the human being's relationship with its Father. When a Jew, a Muslim, or a Christian prays to God, the very act itself assumes these to be true, the following to be true. That there's one beyond each and all of us, beyond all that is around us. That this one cares enough to bother with us. That this one cares enough to want our response. That this one cares enough to respond to us. That this one is effective enough for that response to make a difference. Okay? John Bunyan wrote, "When I go aside in order to pray, I find my heart unwilling to approach God. And when I tarry in prayer, my heart is unwilling to abide in Him. Therefore I am compelled first to pray to God to move my heart into Himself. And when I am in Him, I pray that my heart remain in Him." A Christian has an even more intimate picture than talking about the one that I started this reflection on prayer. Muslims, for example, have an elaborate ritual of washing themselves before their prayers, symbolic of repentance and thus cleanness, holiness before God. But see, Christians see it differently. God as Christ came to us as we are, to remake our relationship with the divine, knowing that even our best holiness is rags, but Jesus' holiness in us means everything. When we come to prayer, we come as we are, unwashed, messy and icky inside, sometimes scared, sometimes needy, sometimes empty, sometimes bored, sometimes furious, but we come because God has already called out to us through the Scriptures and by the good news of Jesus Christ. We come trusting that through prayer God can change us and can change the things that happen in life. We come trusting that God is with us and builds us up, that the Holy Spirit prays with us and for us. We trust that the Lord will lead us to lose our anger, lead us to repentance, lead us to being open to the Spirit's voice, lead us to the love of God and to the love of each other. That is when we Christians bother to pray at all. A rather large part of the Christian church rarely prays. They are not much different from the typical agnostic. Both doubt that prayer matters, or doubt that God loves them, or doubt that they are clean enough, or doubt that God is able to make good things happen in this world. If that's the way you think, dear listeners, I challenge you, well, just pray, just do it. Don't worry about your doubts. Don't worry about how much time you spend at prayer. Don't worry about using the right words when you pray. Don't worry that you might think something really bad and God will get mad because your mind wandered. Don't worry about whether you're ready to pray. Don't worry about whether you have the right theology of prayer. Don't worry about thinking of something to say. Just pray, offering whatever you're thinking and feeling to the Lord. Whatever you bring. It's a start, isn't it? As you pray more regularly or more often, the usual experience is that a strange thing starts happening to you. You start being more truthful in prayer. You start turning away from what you did wrong. Your attitude becomes more confident. You start taking the time to listen. You start looking for the signs of divine dialogue in your daily life. You start hungering to read the scriptures. You start wanting to pray with others. You think less and less about yourself. You'll find things to do and ways to prepare that help you be more open to God in prayer. You don't have to do them, but they can help. You begin to let the Holy Spirit change you. And this is the beating heart of a relationship with someone you cannot see or touch. I know this is strange, but it's true. It's true of true love. Can you see why I said at the beginning of the program, when we pray, we say to God, God, I am willing to let you change my heart. You know, the prayer that I've chosen to share with you today is a prayer that families can pray. I often use this when I'm giving a retreat to married couples. I encourage them to have their family pray this prayer. Let me go through the prayer, and then I'll just highlight it a little bit with a few comments. May the peace of Christ dwell always in our hearts and in our home. May we have true friends to stand by us, both in joy and in sorrow. May we be ready with help and consolation for all those who come to us in need. And may the blessings promised to the compassionate descend in abundance on our house. May we be blessed in our work and enjoy its fruits. May care never cause us distress, nor the desire for earthly possessions lead us astray. But may our hearts be always concerned with the treasures laid up for us in the life of heaven. May the Lord grant us fullness of years, so that we may reap the harvest of a good life. And after we have served Him with loyalty in His kingdom on earth, may He take us up into His eternal dominion in heaven. And we ask all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I really like that prayer because it really covers family life. It calls down blessings on individuals as they deal both joy and sorrow. And what does the marriage vow say? I promise to be true to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and health. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. It calls down a blessing on our home, on the very building. It asks us to help us, remind us to keep our promises of being compassionate, to bless our work so we can enjoy its fruit. And then it has that whole section where it talks about dealing with stress. And it prays that we won't get caught up in greed. That we have the right priorities in our life. What are the right priorities? Well, to know, love, and serve God in this world and be totally happy with Him in the world to come. Yeah, I'm going to say it. You're so used to me saying it. Earth is not our home. Earth is our gymnasium. Heaven is our home. Okay? We do ask in this prayer for fullness of years. To reap a harvest from living a good life. To be loyal to the end. And then the last sentence focuses on our eternal home so that we can spend eternity with God in heaven. I like the prayer. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines long, but it really captures so very, very well what prayer is all about, at least in a family context. Do you pray? Or are you a practical agnostic? You don't really know if prayer makes a difference, so you don't pray much. You got to pray. Prayer has to be in your life second nature. It has to be like breathing. You have to pray on the run. You have to pray where you can. You have to make little prayers. You have to pray in your car. You have to say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Some days all you can say is help. You have to move into thanksgiving sometimes. Do you pray? If you are too busy to pray, you are too busy. God really wants to have a special relationship with you. He won't force it on you. When you can't pray, the Spirit of God will come and pray in you. That's straight from Romans chapter 8. I've talked about that often. Prayer is a heart-to-heart conversation with God. Prayer gives us the ability to stay in touch with God, right? As I like to say, this is somewhat poetic. Prayer is the umbilical cord that connects us with the heart of God. Pray. Why is it that when we talk to God, it's called prayer. When God talks to us, it's called schizophrenic. No, God's talking to us all day long. We're just on the wrong wavelength. We're on the wrong channel. We have to fine-tune our internal radios to hear God say, I love you. I love you. I'll never stop loving you. When will we believe that? I know that's so hard to believe, isn't it? To really believe that God loves us unconditionally. I mean, God has to live with our refusal to love in return. God has to live with the fact that we might walk away, turn our back on God. But He really does love us. Here's today's food for thought. It comes from a woman named Loretta Gersartis. If someone listens or stretches out a hand or whispers a kind word of encouragement or attempts to understand a lonely person, extraordinary things begin to happen. Amen to that, huh? So take the risk, move outside your comfort zone and help somebody. Who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for astronauts. These are the people going up into space, huh? Dangerous job. Yet look at the results that they have accomplished. Things that we know about space, about growing things, about sun power. I mean, it's just astronauts. They work hard to become an astronaut. And so we say, Dear God, bless our astronauts, men and women. Keep them safe from harm. Let them use their knowledge for the honor and glory of God. Let them find things out in space that will make life here on Earth more healthy. And I ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now a small attempt to make you smile or laugh. A rookie cop was asked what he would do if he had to arrest his mother. He said he would call for backup. When contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. I'd like to hear from you. Send me your prayer intentions. Send me a check, if you would, for my hospital. Make the check to TASH. Send to the Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore Thee.